وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. is always for your dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, there are still quite a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam which I want to share with you on the importance of the shahada in professing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no partners whatsoever. So there's a hadith on Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala an, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله حرم الله عليه النار. Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu is related to us that he heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden the fire of hell to touch that person who testifies that there is no God besides Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah with a true heart. So in this hadith too, the affirmation of the divine unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signifies the acceptance of the call of Islam. So the testimony that there is no deity but Allah, there's none worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, it encompasses the whole of Islam, and whoever declares it to be true makes the whole of Islam his faith. So if after that he succumbs to the weakness that are peculiar to man and commits a sin, or his religious consciousness will compel him to make amends for it through the prescribed methods of repentment, tawbah and istighfar, and inshallah he will thus be saved from the punishment of hell. Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once he was riding on a camel with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with only the rear part of the saddle separating them. In other words, he was trying to express that he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and said, Ya Muaz. So Muaz replied, he said, yeah, I am, labbaik, at your service. Then he replied, then again after a little while, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Muaz, referring to Muaz ibn Jabal. So he said, labbaik, yeah, I am at your service. And he replied, on the third occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you know what is the claim of Allah on his slaves? Allah and his messenger knows best. Muaz radiallahu ta'ala replied. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed this and he said, the claim of Allah upon his bondsmen is that they worship him alone and obey him, and associate no one with him. Then after traveling for some time, he said, O Muaz ibn Jabal, and Muaz replied, yeah, I am at your service. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I question him now to make sure that he understood. Do you know what is the claim of the bondsman to Allah, the bondsman of Allah? So he says, Allah and his messenger know best. He said, So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it is that he shall not punish them. So a few points are worthy of note in this hadith. The way in which Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned in the hadith how he was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was riding the camel. So there may be various reasons for that. First is to describe the special affection Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for him and the place of great trust and confidence he enjoyed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, that must be also kept in mind. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose to tell Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala an something very, very special, as we have learned from the hadith. Secondly, by describing the event item by item, Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala might have meant to emphasize his certitude about the tradition, that he remembered the tradition so well that even the minute details were prescribed in his memory. Thirdly, since the lovers are given to prolong the description of what transpired during the memorable moment spent in the company of the beloved, as was the case with Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in order to arrive utmost pleasure from it, you know, they will relate also the minute details of the entire event, you know, exactly how they rode onto the camel, etc. Fourthly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala thrice at brief intervals, and then at the third time he related the first portion of what he had to tell, and when calling him the fourth time he spoke of the second portion. So the commentators have explained this by suggesting that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam perhaps wanted to draw Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu's attention fully, so that he listened very carefully to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to say. Another explanation can be that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted Hazrat Mu'az ibn Jabal to memorize this and to fully and comprehend what Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was delivering to him. So, and the fifth is the substance of the traditions is that the claim of Allah upon the bondsman is that they should worship and obey no one besides him, besides Allah, and ascribe no partners to him. And if they did so and fulfilled the claim, Allah has accepted for himself the right of the bondsman that he would not bring down his punishment upon them. So in this hadith also, worshipping Allah and keeping away from polytheism stands out for the acceptance of Islam and the observance of its tenets. And since during those days, the doctrine of unity, divine unity, was the main dividing line between Islam and kufr and paganism. It has been made the starting point, by many of the muhaddithin, you know, and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke so much in abundance about it, like we have now already went through a few ahadith signifying the significance of the unity and the oneness of Allah, that he alone is worshipped and worthy of worship, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there's another hadith, an anasin anna nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa ma'ad radifuhu ala rahli qala ya ma'ad qala labbayk ya rasulullah wa sa'dayk qala ya ma'ad qala labbayk ya rasulullah wa sa'dayk qala ya ma'ad qala labbayk ya rasulullah wa sa'dayk ثلاثا قال وما من أحد يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صدقا من قلبه إلا حرمه الله على النار قال يا رسول الله أفلا أخبر به الناس فيستبشروا قال إذا يتكل فأخبر بها معاذ عند موته تعسما. So it is related by Anas ibn Malik that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he was traveling with him on a camel and said, "Oh, Mu'az, so here I am, labbaik, O messenger of Allah," replied Mu'az. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said again, "Oh, Mu'az," then he said, "Labbaik, ya Rasulullah, I'm here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So it happened thrice. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said then, whoso affirms with a true heart that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his messenger, Allah has forbidden the fire of hell to touch such a person. So Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on hearing the glad tidings, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I tell it to the people so that they all may be happy? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, they will then rely solely upon it and sit back. So then this hadith here, Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu related it on his dying day for fear of being called to account over concealing knowledge. So he still imparted the hadith just before he left this temporary world. So the similarity of the two hadiths, they show it concerns the same incident. The only difference between them is that while the first employs the phrase worship of Allah and avoidance of polytheism to signify the acceptance of Islam, the second expresses in it also the testimony of oneness of Allah and the messengership, the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In another report, Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala has mentioned salah and fasting along with divine unity, and it reads, man laqiya Allah la yushriku bihi shay'a wa yusalli al-khams wa yasumu ramadan ghufira lahu qultu afala ubashshiruhum ya Rasulullah qala da'hum ya'malu. Whoever appears before Allah in such a state that he is free, you know, from polytheism, and he offers regularly the five daily salat and observes fasting, he shall be forgiven. Then Mu'az said, Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, if you permit me, I may communicate the happy tidings to everyone. So Rasulullah said, leave it, let them do their deeds. See, although the mode of expression in the three reports is different, there's some variation of preciseness in the choice of words. The meaning of all of them is basically the same, that whoever accepts sincerely the call of faith in Islam, the fundamental tenets, and his abstention from polytheism, from shirk, affirmation of divine unity, the messenger ship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, observance of salah and of fasting, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's firm promise of deliverance is there for him. So those who conclude from such sayings that the acknowledgement of divine unity and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission will protect one from the chastisement and the fire, even if beliefs are unsound and sins are committed, they do not appreciate the true significance of these ahadith. And they also reject hundreds of other ahadith which do not conform to their warped judgment and are clearly in contrast with their wishful thinking. So, as we will go and discuss, inshallah, Aziz, tomorrow, that, what is the actual meaning of just believing in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save from the fire of hell. A little bit of more detail on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to embrace his teachings and to draw closer to him and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.